Hello, everybody. This is Heather coming back to you with another episode of This is Important. This is episode 3, and today I actually have a really special guest. It's my first guest on the podcast, and I don't think it would be right any other way than having my first guest be my freaking mom. My mom. She's here with me right now, sitting next to me. We're all comfy. We actually, my aunt is down. My mom just had arm surgery. So my aunt is down from New Jersey taking care of my mom. Well, she just left on a trip to see her husband for a little bit and left her dogs here. So we got her dogs, my mom's dogs. My mom has 3. Dale has 2. So we got 5 dogs up here all snuggled in on us. So if you hear some noises, it is the pups. And so I'm quite excited to have my mom here on the podcast. Last week, we spoke about forgiveness. And this week's topic, we're going to kind of dive into a little bit of forgiveness. We're going to talk about red flags. We're going to talk about just like things in between, but having it from a perspective of someone else, I find is very helpful, especially with everybody has their own experiences and memories, and it's just super important. This is important. I'm never gonna get over that. I'm gonna keep saying that every time I say important. I'm like, it's the name of the podcast. But this is extremely important to have, you know, different perspectives and views from different situations. And my mom is very insightful when it comes to forgiveness and it comes to red flags, because Lord knows she has been through it all. So just whatever you're doing, whatever, you know, you're doing on this day, just sit back and relax. And I hope you enjoy this podcast. We're going to dive right into it. Mom, do you want to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
And what's your name?
Donna Hall, actually Donna Hamlin now.
Yes, she got married last year, right?
A year ago, St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, so.
But I still have Hall on a lot of things because that's Heather's last name and I've always kept it.
Yeah.
But I am transitioning to Hamlin, but so I'm half and half of each.
And I apologize in advance for the audio in this. I'm just recording off of my phone until I get some studio equipment. Equipment. Like, we're sitting next to each other, but sometimes I put it up to her mouth. Sometimes I put it up to mine. Sometimes I just put it in the middle. So if it goes in and out, I apologize. I'm doing the best that I can with my little phone. So, Mom, I know that Heather. You it's funny because we're like sitting here looking at each other as if like we're being like recorded with video. We're like making facial expressions and stuff, but I like it. It's genuine. Mom, I want to dive in deep with you about forgiveness. She has this book in front of her, and it's called, Mom, go ahead and tell us what the book is.
It's called You Can Be Happy No Matter What, and it's by Richard Carlson. And he's the one that also does the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. So it's a pretty good book.
It's her favorite book. She just got another copy because she handed me her original copy, which has been with her. How long have you had the original copy that you gave to me?
I got it when I was 38.
Yeah.
And I'm 56 now, so 58, so 18 years.
Yeah. That's insane. So she had the original copy and she decided to gift it to me because she would try to get me to read it all the time. And I'd be like, no, because I used to hate reading. I'm still not like a huge fan of reading. I have to listen to like audibles and stuff like that because with my ADHD, I like stumble. I also have dyslexia. So everything gets jumbled and then I have to read things like twice as hard. Like it's twice as hard to read things.
Or we fall asleep in the middle of a chapter.
Yeah. Or like, oh my gosh, did I leave my stove on? Or like you think about all these things. So she's had the copy forever, and her original copy has all these highlights and really good gems in them. And she actually today I called her up this morning. I was like, hey, Would you like to be on my podcast today? Would you like to like talk about forgiveness and your experiences? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, I want you to talk about the book that you love, You Can Be Happy No Matter What. So she's like, all right, I'm going to highlight some stuff. And here we are sitting on the couch, and she is going to, throughout this podcast, she's going to read a few excerpts that have to do with what we're talking about. This book is super, super helpful with forgiveness, with a whole different, like all different types of scenarios, forgiveness, figuring out like your true self, figuring out how to handle situations, having perspective from someone else's view versus yours. So it's just, it's a really, really wonderful book. It's amazing. So, Mom,
Heather,
forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean to you?
Forgiveness is, it's a really hard thing to do. First of all, you need to get that phone out of my face. I can't handle that thing right here at my mouth. I feel like it's a microphone.
Okay, we're going to put it right here.
Okay, and don't stare at me so intently. So forgiveness is something that I've learned a long time ago, and I'm still not 100% proficient with it. I was thinking about that today, that I could be better at it. But for some of the major things in my life, I did forgive, and it's really gotten me through things. And I guess one of the biggest situations I had to forgive was actually your dad when I was married. We were together for 12 years.
Just a little insight. My mom and my dad are divorced, and they have been divorced since I was three.
2002.
So since I was four. They're actually best friends, though, which is so crazy. Everybody's like, what? But yeah, they're best friends. Sometimes, you know, my mom and her husband hang out with my dad when I'm not even in town. They have such a good dynamic of like a relationship, and they have both raised me as a team. We've had Christmases together always. It's just a really good...
He spends the night with his flavor and...
With his flavor.
and usually, I've had a couple different relationships since then, too. So, and
but
every
they
relationship...
always get along.
Well, they have to, because I don't get into a relationship unless they're willing to accept all of me. And he is a big part of me, so...
So beautiful.
And it is. And it's really... When we first broke up, one of my main things after, of course, you have to go through that grieving process and the process where you hate the person and all that at first. And then when you go through all that and then, you know, you really sit down and you think about what you want your life to be. My biggest thing, Heather, was I wanted your life to be not the life of a broken family. So I decided that I had to be the one to, your dad has just always been kind of good natured, and I don't think he ever hated me or anything, and I don't think he ever resented me or anything like that, but I knew that it was up to me to let go of all that resentment in order for you to have a really healthy upbringing, because otherwise you see so many marriages and broken marriages and when you're bringing up kids and stuff and the one parent pins the kid against the other parent trying to, because there's so much hate there, trying to hurt the other parent by using the children, and I really didn't want that for you. So the only alternative really is to forgive the other person, because when you forgive, you're not forgiving. You need to get that away from my face.
That gets closer and closer
until I'm like eating the microphone. Now I lost my train of thought. So the only way really to do that would be to forgive the other person, because otherwise there's all that hatred. And even if you think you're doing really good, if you haven't truly forgiven the person, you have all that hatred there, and it comes out in little digs, and it comes out in little things that you say to your children so that your children will see the other parent as the same way as you do, because you want the child to understand your point of view. Not necessarily, I would say, to love you more, because any sane person would realize that if you're saying mean things about the other person, it's not going to make your child love you more. But so that as a parent that hasn't truly forgiven, it comes out in little digs so that your child thinks.
It's like it's kind of like a superiority kind of thing where like the one parent might want. You wouldn't think that the parent would think, oh, this is going to make me look better if I badmouth. But sometimes when you're so caught up, it's like you're taking your frustration out and you're kind of projecting onto your child so your child could feel the same way towards them, but not even intentionally. It's not like you want your kid to grow up and like not like their father or hate their father, but some people just get so caught up in their mind to where they like... It's just they're so angry that they project it onto their child, and then they want their child. They just want the other person to be disliked and not.
You
liked.
Want the other person to suffer
and feel.
One
bad.
Parent wants the other parent to pay for what they for the wrongs that they feel that they've done, right or wrong or indifferent, and
like they want to feel like, oh, you didn't just leave me, you left both of us or
right.
all of
and
us.
And look at the big mistake you made, and she's not going to love you being you.
Yeah.
Heather's not going to love you because of what you did to us, and I didn't want that. I didn't want that at all. The way I looked at it was, he and I were really good friends in a lot of aspects of our marriage, but there was just some things that were not relationship worthy in my mind, my idea of it, and everybody has a different idea. And when it came to a screeching halt, all of that came crushing down on me, and yes, I did have a hatred towards him and a hurt, and I can't really say a hatred. I think hurt, anger is always stemmed from something, and most of the time it stemmed from hurt. And I think I was very hurt, and I felt very, I didn't feel important.
And you feel vulnerable too at that point. You're so vulnerable, and you feel like you've had this relationship and you're so close with this person and
how can he do this if he truly loved me? And you know, he says this, but he does this. And, you know, you don't feel like for my situation, it's not every situation, but for my situation, Heather and I were never number one. And I wasn't number one even before Heather came along. And then when Heather came along, and part of putting, and another part of forgiveness too is, really, really soul searching and looking inside yourself and coming to terms with the other person isn't 100% wrong. Well, they could be 100% wrong, but you also could be wrong in certain aspects also. And
that's like the hardest thing to come to terms with.
It is. It's hard to. It's hard
you
to
pin it on the other person. You want to be like, oh man, they did this,
and I didn't do anything to deserve it.
Yeah, and as much as you didn't deserve it, and as much as they did do that stuff, there's also wrongdoings that we do. You know what I mean? There's also
and a
wrongdoings
lot of it,
that
a lot of it is a lot. Yeah, and a lot of it is pinned on this person. You're unhappy in this situation for whatever your reasons are. I know what my reasons were, but I was unhappy in the situation. And when you're unhappy in a situation, you want to feel justified, and you want to feel in everybody's mind, the way we think is right. It's our point of view, and it's right. And we try to justify and to prove that you're right. So the things that were bothering me in the relationship, there were other things that maybe wouldn't have been an issue, except that I have a background of these other things that were bothering me. So that when these smaller things would come up, in my mind, I was saying, see, there he goes again. See, there he goes again. See, there he goes again. Hey, boys.
Hang on. The UPS guy is here. Tony? The dogs get real wild around here. Especially when the UPS man comes.
Things that happen that normally would be, you know, normally would be not that big of a deal, or would be, you know, just something that you could just slough off and it wouldn't be any big deal, now becomes part of the issue, because you say to yourself, see, there he goes again. See, you know, and I'm just going to give you an example, and it's not anything. It's just I'm throwing something out there that really is not true. I'm just as an example. Somebody leaves their shoes on the floor, and you, already in your mind, you're thinking this person is a slob, and they never pick up after themselves. Well, now their shoes are on the floor. So now you take their shoes, and you pick them up, and you stomp over to the closet, and you put them in the closet as I'm putting my hand down, like I'm slamming the shoes, right? You put them in the closet and you're thinking to yourself, see, they don't pick up their shoes. And then you go into the bathroom, you know, to use the bathroom or whatever, and you go to wash your hands and there's toothpaste in the sink. See, they never clean their toothpaste, and you're angry and you're cleaning up the toothpaste, and these thoughts are going through your head, and it magnifies everything.
And it snowballs.
And it snowballs and it magnifies and it makes you think about all these things. And then what happens is over time, you start to, not only do you just happen to see these things, but you start looking for them. And you see, you know, you're looking around, you can see 50 things of yours on the floor, but then you see one thing of theirs on the floor, and in your mind you say, see, there he is being a slob again. And then you're taking the stuff and you're putting it away, and you're putting it, you're not just leaving it there, you put it away, because then you feel justified, and see, I've cleaned up after that person.
Yeah, and then they come back and you're like, yeah, see, you did that, but you didn't even ask me to clean it. Yeah, but I didn't ask you because I'm always the one doing it. So it snowballs, right? And it gets more and more and more, and then it magnifies to where, you know, you're just picking things that, you know, just because you're angry and you're picking at all the things. And then,
and you're expecting them to do those things. Yeah. And you're looking for them. Even though you can be 10 times worse than they are, you're seeing their mistakes. And a disclaimer, quick pause disclaimer. Heather's dad was not like that at all. He is a neat freak. And my husband right now is not like that at all either. I was just using that as an example.
Yeah, just an example. No.
And I did a far out example just because I didn't want to use a real example.
Yeah,
and
but that's an example that actually I feel like resonates with a lot of people. There's always there's always somebody that's more cleaner in the relationship, and it's dad's an I get that from both of you. Mom, I feel like dad is actually, it's funny, my mom has a business and it has OCD in it, and it's like
the OCD sisters, just a little bit of advertising.
I didn't know if you wanted to throw it out there, but we can throw it out there. Yeah. And you know, I was born for both of them, so you would think like, okay, so she's got OCD, so, you know, Heather must get it from her. I honestly think that I really get it from my dad. I feel like my dad's even, like, way more OCD than you are.
He's OCD in a different way. He's, because he's a military type OCD.
Yeah.
And a military type OCD is, you fold your shirts all in the same way, and you smush them down, and they're all going to fit in the drawer in the perfect way. And when you go in there, you're going to see 6 shirts, and they're all going to be perfect. My OCD is, everything's going to be put away. Well, maybe not always, but everything's going to be put away. Or like all my spoons are in one direction, and my small spoons are in one direction, and my big spoons are in the other direction. And
can I
all
tell you that honestly, I think you being with your husband now.
Magoo, you can say it.
Okay, Magoo, we'll say care. I'm trying, just in case. Being with him, I feel like I've never seen you really relax with that. I feel like you've always been OCD, not like dad's style, like your own style, but I feel like you've always had things together. And I think you being with Magoo, I don't know why, but you're just much more relaxed. I remember.
It's because I've learned to accept him for, he has so many wonderful things. And then the little things don't matter. I don't make my bed every single day like I used to do. Yeah. It doesn't have to be made every single day like it used to be, because he doesn't really care. I don't really care.
I know. I remember living with you. You'd be like, Heather, there's dishes in the sink. Are you going to come and do the dishes before you leave? No, I'll get them when I come back. And that's definitely not how I am now. Now I'm like at my own home. I'm like,
you never got them when you came back either. So.
And, like, now I'm, like, at my own apartment. I'm, like, putting things away as I go. Like, I'm just such a neat freak.
And then you shake the salad onto the floor.
I know. Well, Bear comes up and eats it. But, so you're just much more relaxed now, that I've noticed. But anyway, back on track, forgiveness. And so I want you to kind of dig in deep, if you don't mind, and tell us how you... What was your turning point? Where was your turning point where after you and dad had split and, you know, you're grieving and you're upset and everything, and, you know, you're going through that hatred of like trying to get over him and just feeling really hurt and like, why would he do these things and say these things and not do them? And like, what was the turning point that made you go, this isn't, like, I can't go like this. Like, this isn't how I move on and be happy with my life. Like, this isn't how things get better. What was that turning point? And what was it like? And tell me some of the feelings, if you don't mind going in and really going back in that memory. And I know that's kind of, it's kind of hard to be like, feel those feelings again after you're, like, super happy.
Right now.
Yeah, but I say that because I know that you're in a good space and you're happy and you're moved on. And, like, if you're able to go back and try to, like, explain for the people that may be going through heartbreak and or anything in their life that's heartbreaking, it doesn't have to be with a relationship. And just, if you could just say what your turning point was and how you dealt with it and the feelings you felt.
So, do you want me to go into what happened and the reason why we split up? Or do you want me to just go into kind of graze over that? And then kind of get into the...
Whatever you feel comfortable with.
So I was really unhappy on and off. You know, when you're in a relationship, you can't say I was unhappy for the last 3 years, because it's not 3 years of total unhappiness. But it was several years of not feeling important and not feeling... Always feeling like I was on the bottom of the totem pole and at the back... You know, always on the back burner and nothing... You know, nothing that we had going on was important. It was always something.
And I'll put this in there. He's my dad. My father is a workaholic. Where I say that he's way better now. He's much more relaxed. Over the years, he's much, much better at this. But I would even say that he chose work over us a lot.
Work and fishing.
Yes.
And fishing was good in the beginning because we didn't have you, and not that you're a bad thing at all. But when we were first together, I went out fishing with him a lot, and we went on the boat, and we had a lot of interest in everything. And that's where part of the forgiveness had to come in is, you know, when we were first together, it was almost like two different relationships. We had this one relationship when we were first together, and we did a lot of fishing, and not that I gave up my life. I didn't have a whole lot of, like, really entrenched things going on in my life when I met your dad. So when I met your dad, he was cool. He did the big truck things and the mudding, and he did, you know, the camping and fishing and, you know.
Scuba diving, right?
Scuba diving, and we both... Between the two of us, when we were together, we got entrenched with some friends, and it ended up being a really big group of friends, and we always did a lot of things together with our big group of friends and everything, and we always had a really good time and everything. And at that time, work really was number one important, and what we did came secondary. I should say what anything that I wanted to do came secondary. The things that we did as a couple together... If we made plans, we always stuck with the plans. It's not like we made plans and then he went off and worked and canceled the plans. But there wasn't a whole lot of room for us to do something specifically that I wanted. But at the same token, we had a lot of things that we liked together. So it was pretty good, like, in the beginning. And then, you know, I was 31, I think. I think I was 30 or 31. And I just started really taking toll of my life and decided, you know, I want to have children. I wanted to have a boy and a girl. And, you know, it was getting to the point where, you know, better start thinking about this because, you know, you get too much older and you're not going to be in your childbearing age. You know what childbearing is. Don't laugh. Child rearing is when you're bringing up children. Childbearing. Oh. Okay.
I didn't know that because I'm sitting here thinking,
so don't
like,
laugh at me and put that on me. That's on you. So everybody out there can laugh at
your. I'm thinking like child rearing, like you're kicking them in the butt, or they're kicking you in the butt.
That too. But anyway, so I told your dad that, you know, we had been living together for 5 years at that point, I think. And I said, you know, This is, and we had been talking about some things, and I said, this is really what I want to do, and, you know, what do you want to do? And he didn't want to have a family necessarily. He could do with it or without it, basically, is what he said. And so I said, you know, well, I would like to. And, you know, my plan is I would like to get married. We've been together for 5 years. I'd like to get married and have children before too much more time goes on. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really like that so much, I don't think. So.
But he didn't want to lose you.
But he didn't want to lose me. And I said, you know, and it would have been really hard because we had been together for 5 years. But I was like, I just basically... He says I gave him an ultimatum, but I don't really look at it that way because that sounds very negative.
No, if he wanted,
my plan was my plan, and his plan was his plan. And if he didn't want to do this, if we didn't have the same thing, we at that point we could have went our separate ways, and our lives would have been definitely different. But neither one of us really wanted to lose each other, so. We did get married. Sounds so romantic, doesn't it? So we did. We got married. And then I got pregnant. We got pregnant. And I lost that baby. And that was really hard. I think I was like 16 weeks. And I had
a miscarriage. I'm really proud of you right now for opening up about that. Because I know that you haven't really opened up about that. So
That was pretty difficult. And I'm not going to go into all that. That the reaction there and what happened there, I think was probably, in my mind, it was probably like the starting point of some of the bigger issues that we had.
Yeah.
It didn't. I'll just say it. Having the miscarriage didn't affect him like it affected me, and so then we ended up getting pregnant like a month later. And that was my pregnancy with you, Heather. Thank God I had you. I was praying for twins because I knew that he didn't want to have any more children. And I knew it was probably my only chance to have two. I wanted to have twins and I wanted a boy and a girl. And that didn't work. So
sorry. Could you imagine if there was another one of me, though?
We didn't need another one of you though, yeah. Because you're just like everything all wrapped up in one. You know what I mean? Like you filled that void, you filled that child thing for your dad because you love mudding and swimming in mud holes, and I mean you love all that stuff. But yet you're girly too.
I know. He raised me as his little boy, and you raised me as your little girl, and it kind of meshed together. And that's why I pee in containers. That's the point.
I don't want to talk about that. So anyway, so once you were born, mm-hmm. a lot of what happened after that was basically my life changed because my life was around you. I decided that, and before I was working for Raymond James Financial and, you know, an office job and everything. And I didn't want somebody else to raise you. So that's when I started my cleaning company. And, so I was with you 24/7 and your dad, it just seemed like he got busier and busier and busier at work. I don't think he's not a baby kind of guy. You know what I mean? He's not, and I'm not blaming him for that at all. I mean, it's for some people and it's not for some people. And that's just, I mean, it's not for everyone. And it's not to say that he didn't love you. You should have seen it when he did come home from work and you'd be on his chest and he'd be playing with you. And I mean, he really was a good dad. He just wasn't into it 24/7. So now comes the fishing. Now the camping and everything, we always brought you with camping and I can tell you some stories. But the fishing and everything taken, I mean, his idea of fishing at the time, it's, I don't think it's that so much that anymore, is it, where he goes from like before the sun comes up until like,
yeah,
10,
no, my dad used to
night.
Do fishing like it was like literally
it was his life.
Yeah, it was his life.
You can't do that with an infant. You just can't. Yeah. I mean, we did it a few times, but you just can't. And his life was working and fishing. And so
he wasn't really adjusting to the whole baby life.
No. He's better as a single person.
Yes.
He really is better as a single person. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not blaming him.
Oh, no, and he knows that.
He's his grandfather's grandson.
Yeah.
His grandfather was the exact same way. But anyway, so that's kind of what the downfall of the relationship was.
I'm gonna pause real quick for myself. I have to pee really bad. I'm gonna take 2 seconds.
And I don't have a cup handy?
No containers here. My mom is gonna continue on. I'm literally gonna be in the other.
I thought you were gonna actually hit pause. Now I gotta hold this.
No, I can't pause. I told you.
Oh, that's right.
We'll continue on and talk about that. I'll be right here.
So, the relationship just—it's not the same without you. So the relationship just kind of changed. It changed after that. And I don't want Heather to think that it changed because of her in any kind of negative way or anything like that. It just, the family dynamics just changed. And so things started.
I'm back.
Okay. So things, here, hold it. Cause it hurts my shoulder to hold it. So then I was getting resentful because I felt like 24/7, I did not have any breaks whatsoever. There was no, you know, there was no time for me at all because I was working and I was bringing Heather with me the first two years of her life. I brought her with me and I started my house cleaning service. And so she was with me 24/7, no breaks whatsoever. And so, and your dad was doing a lot of different things, like taking vacations by himself and, you know, cause we couldn't go certain places like Biloxi or Vegas or something with a child. It just wasn't appropriate. And so there was things like that. And, I'm not going to get into the whole breakup thing. I'm just not going to do that right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it ended up, Heather was 4 and there was some, you know, a situation happened and there was no going back from that. And, we ended up getting divorced. So when we were going through from the time we decided to get divorced until we got divorced. And then 2 months later, we still lived in the same house. We didn't separate because I didn't really have any place to go. And I wanted to bring Heather up in what she was accustomed to. I didn't want to go live in some apartment, you know, in a bad area or anything like that. So her dad helped me find a house, and it was a pretty crappy little house, but he convinced me to buy it because he told me that he would help me fix it up and we would make it mine. And true to his word, he was over there every single night. He put aside work and everything else, and he was over there every single night helping me fix up this little house. And, you know, God, that house. We would take up the carpet so that we could put down fresh carpet, and it was like the front yard was inside. The carpet was so threadbare. It was disgusting. And I had a mattress in the one room because Heather was still only 4, and I had to still, you know,
entertain me.
yeah. I'll talk to you instead of to the audience because it's easier. So I had to still entertain you. So I'd have, you know, I'd work and I'd have VHS tapes. I don't even know if anybody out there knows what those
are.
But I would have those with Barney and all different things.
Land
on it.
Before Time.
Oh my God!
I love that movie.
That and 50
I had
First
all
Dates.
Of them and 50.
I think I saw 50 First Dates 50 First 100 times. But anyway, so. But she'd have to watch those while I was working. And then I'd come home and then I'd be working on the house, and she'd have to watch those while I was working on the house. And I was like at my wit's end. It was really, I just, there wasn't really, and now you told me to get emotional. I'm emotional. There wasn't really a light at the end of the tunnel there because there was a lot on me. And then I was dealing with, her dad was also seeing.